Welcome to This is Robotics, radio news, podcasting news and commentary from around the world. Please join us for today's radio news report with your host, Tom Green, for news, analysis, and commentary from the wide world of robotics. Radio News is a production of Asian Robotics Review, your most trusted news resource in global robotics. And now, here's Tom.
Hi, folks, and welcome once again to This is Robotics Radio News. I'm Tom Green, your host and fellow traveler into the amazingly wonderful world of robotics. Thanks for joining us. This summer of 2023 is one to particularly remember for robotics. We'll remember 2023 for a long time, even as it spawns two more equally amazing and remarkable years to come, 2024 and 2025. Robotics technology and sales will thunder into the quarter century mark of this millennium's first 100 years, something we feel will roll in with quite a bang for everyone, technologists and sales. Today's podcast looks at three bellwether happenings for robotics here in 2023 and the carryover for them through 2025. Of course, the leader of the bellwether gang is generative AI, or Gen AI, that bull rushed the world this spring, sowing fear, chaos, glee, elation, and even adulation, as it changed most everything around us and continues to do so. Then there was the rise of general-purpose robots and cobots. Oh my! These smart robots and cobots change everything and are the future of everything, like Google and DeepMind's RoboCat. We'll take a look at the RoboCat effect on robotics going forward. Plus, from a real-world look at smart robots in action, we'll look at Lockheed's use of smart robots. See how and why Lockheed got a 10x productivity bump. Are these smart critters the future? You bet they are. Then another amazing happening in robotics. Two countries, not just one, making a bid for greatness. In March, there was Korea and its $177 billion move into leadership in East Asia with all things AI and robotics. We profiled Korea in a multi-series article set in March and then featured Korea in the March edition of This is Robotics. Next up is our second pick for greatness, India. India's time has come, not only for robotics and automation, but as a country that has enabled the extraordinary ascent of India's indigenous robotics technology. The intertwined future of India's economics and its robotics technology. As economist Tyler Cowen put it, with Rishi Sunak as Prime Minister of the UK, it is now impossible to deny what has been evident for some time. Indian talent is revolutionizing the Western world, far more than expected 10 or 15 years ago. And finally, from Gutenberg to Gen AI, why is it that humans will always reign supreme? I found out at 30,000 feet over the Pacific on my way to Asia in the pages of a book from 2014 by Stephen Johnson called How We Got to Now. Mother Nature did things to us in both brain and body that make us supreme forever, just about forever. Sorry, AI. Now, let's get on with the news in detail. As always, we kick things off with the blog that we write for our good friends, Robotique. The blog called What's New in Robotics. A blog we do every 2 weeks, and elements of which we bring into This is Robotics. Robotique, who elevate your workforce with easy-to-use cobot solutions. Here comes the age of general-purpose robots and cobots. Haven't we been looking forward to that? Trying to get robots and cobots to quickly switch between multiple tasks has, until now, been a complex chore to pull off. Most robots today perform a single task well until needed to perform yet another task, at which time they require yet more programming. Say you want your welding cell to break down and become a drilling cell in the afternoon, and maybe at night take the same cobot or robot and have it do machine tending on a CNC machine. A general purpose robot, on the other hand, with the ability to effortlessly automate most any given task when needed, has long been elusive. However, Google's new RoboCat may well be the breakthrough answer, offering up new levels of intelligence, plus flexible automation, increased productivity, and decreased cost. In short, a manufacturer's dream tool. Here's what AI News recently reported about RoboCat.
In a massive breakthrough, Google has just unveiled its new AI model called RoboCat as the world's most advanced self-learning artificial intelligence ever, based on DeepMind's generalist AI called Gato, which can do over 600 tasks, revolutionizing RoboCat's intelligence with its ability to learn a potentially unlimited amount of new tasks at an accelerating speed.
RoboCat was developed by Google's UK-based DeepMind subsidiary. RoboCat is a self-improving AI agent that learns to operate different robotic arms and take on different tasks, with as little as 100 examples. And it can create its own training data to help sharpen performance, says DeepMind. A spin-off agent will then have the robot practice the task over and over again, physically and virtually, on average 10,000 times.
Amazingly, RoboCat's learning potential isn't just confined to simple tasks. After observing 1,000 demonstrations, RoboCat demonstrated its capability to direct a complex robotic arm with a three-fingered gripper and twice as many controllable inputs, successfully picking up gears with an 86% success rate. Furthermore, RoboCat showcased its aptitude for tasks that required both precision and understanding, like selecting the correct fruit from a bowl or solving a shape-matching puzzle. What's truly fascinating about RoboCat's learning journey is the virtuous cycle of training it embarks on. With each new task it learns, RoboCat becomes more adept at learning additional new tasks.
Ultimately, RoboCat's library of general-purpose robot arm movements self-improves to a dataset of millions of trajectories from both real and simulated robotic arms, including self-generated data. Robot can learn to operate a new robotic arm within hours. After observing 1,000 human-controlled demonstrations collected in just hours, RoboCat could direct a new arm dexterously enough to pick up gears successfully 86% of the time. Not perfect yet, but pretty darn good. Okay, that's in DeepMind's laboratory. What does a robot or cobot imbued with intelligence look like in the real world? They're known by their deeds. Early results are showing smart robots to be very remarkable in manufacturing, like the tenfold productivity gain that Lockheed Martin just experienced. Lockheed Martin identified a use case to apply AI that focused on a typical robotics work cell used by its factory cobots drilling holes. Could AI empower a commercial cobot with greater intelligence and understanding of its body and the task it is about to execute while ensuring the required quality and tolerances are achieved? X-Cognition from Zaba, a synthetic brain which specializes in manufacturing, was employed in the production test. X-Cognition claims that it is the developer of the first AI-driven robotics and CNC machine controller. Unlike analytical AI used for predictive modeling, X-Cognition says that its industrial AI focuses on the physical world. It can model and drive a vehicle, a complex machining center, and more complex industrial applications. The Lockheed test consisted of two phases. Phase one, assessing the cobot's performance in maintaining accurate and consistent trajectory positioning with and without cognition. Phase two, performing a set of drilling tests on an aluminum test plate with specified positional tolerances. The results? Based on the data collected, X-Cognition improved the accuracy and consistency of a commercial cobot by a factor of tenfold. Lockheed Martin's Matthew Gala, an aeronautics application engineer, remarked, "The test with the X-Cognition controller allows us to rethink how we can accelerate innovation in manufacturing." Early on, as witnessed in the Lockheed test, the impact of AI in assisting manufacturing robots and cobots seems to be nothing short of stunning. From Gutenberg to Gen AI, epiphany at 39,000 feet. This story is about me and the supposed assault from generative AI or Gen AI on my craft, my career, and my puny human intellect. What's going on? Is all that I do and am in jeopardy? I'm a writer, journalist, video producer, podcast host, and online publisher of news websites. The word on the street was that I was in the Gen AI crosshairs and slated for elimination, or at least mega marginalization. While boarding a Korean Air flight KE092 from Boston to Incheon, Korea, news of the Hollywood writers' strike being joined by an actors' strike only served to add the looming battle between humans making words and Gen AI skill at the same trade. I had a 15-hour flight ahead of me to do some thinking about it all. I had no idea that I was about to travel from Gutenberg to Gen AI via an epiphany at 39,000 feet. Korean Air makes it easy and pleasant to read. They offer plenty of legroom for a tall guy like me, as well as a pair of slippers to get totally, totally comfy. For the first 8 hours of the 15 hours of flying time from Boston to Incheon, I was happily devouring my book, scribbling on pages and snapping sticky notes to my favorites. Suddenly, the plane was in darkness, except for border lights along the ceiling, which make it impossible to read things like ink on paper. Crossing the international date line, the authorities aboard the plane make passengers shut their window shades to block bright sunlight. I think it's to fool circadian rhythms into thinking that it's night and to prepare everyone on board for the new day into which the plane has just crossed. And it's never the same reading by the seat's overhead light that always seems misaligned and tends to leak onto nearby passengers who are happily watching movies in the dark. Better to close the book, stow it, and sleep. Maybe in reverie. Hopefully I'll dream about what I've just read about and let it seep into a few welcoming crevices of my mind. Anyway, that was my hope. The book in question was Stephen Johnson's How We Got to Now, subtitled Six Innovations That Made the Modern World. It's a history of technology written in 2014 in which Johnson brilliantly weaves an intriguingly enlightening tale of how glass, cold, sound, clean, time, and light made the modern world. Each had its own fascinating chapter, and together, as the front flap says, tell the story of collaborative networks building the modern world. My flight was late June, and the previous few months had been filled with the birth of generative AI, or simply Gen AI. Gen AI was everywhere at once, worldwide. Billions were being invested in developing it. Billions more were being spent by corporations acquiring and trying to master it, and scads of tech companies were creating anything that even remotely smacked of generative anything. It was June 2023, the heyday of LLMs, large language models, which are the birth mothers of generative AI. Fears were rampant that Gen AI was going to eliminate everyone's job. Well, that was the concern of the day. Although written 9 years previous to Gen AI, How We Got to Now did a nice job of establishing the primacy of humans and their 3 pounds of gray matter. It was a calming read in the face of all the hysteria surrounding OpenAI's launch of its Gen AI software, ChatGPT. The cabin lights went out at clean, and I was asleep 5 minutes later. When I awoke, still 4 hours from Incheon, my brain felt light, airy, and bright. Something had cleared out all the doubts and conflicts over Gen AI. I felt really good about my brain, and the brains of all my fellow mortals. My first thoughts were of scribes, making their illuminated manuscripts in Latin, all by hand. Quick cut to Gutenberg's letterpress, machine printing the Bible in German, the vernacular of the people. That's an enormous event. But in voiceover, Stephen Johnson interrupts with an interesting twist to the Gutenberg story. Gutenberg's German Bible was very popular, but many who wanted to read it were farsighted and couldn't. So what do the ever-inventive Germans do? They create the spectacle industry, reading glasses. Not far away, the Dutch, like the Germans, also take up making glass lenses. But in their able hands came the microscope. For the first time, we humans could look closely at what made up our bodies. Not finished yet, the Dutch then invent the telescope, allowing a better view of our universe. All of those fantastic hopscotch moves of discovery and invention were the unmistakable handiwork of humans and their puny brains. Mission impossible for an AI. Okay, so now I'm feeling great about my brain and my career. Just to reinforce that notion, as flight KE092 made its approach to Incheon, Johnson adds another story about human inventive prowess and the air conditioning surrounding me in the plane's cabin. It was invented by a young engineer named Willis Carrier, who never intended to invent air conditioning. A New York City printer had hired him to help keep his ink from smudging while printing in the summer heat. Carrier was successful, and the New York City printer was ecstatic. However, during lunch break at the printing plant, Carrier noticed that all the workers were pulling up their chairs next to his machine to eat their lunches. He thought, that gives me an idea. The rise of Indian robotics is a reflection of the rise of India. Make no mistake, India's time has come, and along with it has come the rise of Indian robotics. At Asian Robotics Review, we have been writing about Indian robotics for years now, and we're very proud to chronicle this new, fascinating phase of the rise of Indian robotics. In 2014, when Narendra Modi became Prime Minister of India, Indian GDP was 10th worldwide. Today, it's 5th. As economist Tyler Cohen put it, with Rishi Sunak as Prime Minister of the UK, it is now impossible to deny what has been evident for some while. Indian talent is revolutionizing the Western world far more than it had been expected 10 or 15 years ago. India is one of the fastest-growing industrial economies, says Marina Bill, president of the International Federation of Robotics. Within 5 years, the operational stock of industrial robots has more than doubled, corresponds to an average annual growth rate of 16% since 2016. The success of Indian origin talent at this point is enormous, as represented in the Indian CEOs for Alphabet, Microsoft, Adobe, IBM, FedEx, Starbucks, and the retailer The Gap. Those Indian CEOs manage tens of thousands of employees worldwide and trillions of dollars in corporate value. The Indian government supports growth in the industrial sector as one of the vital figures that affect the gross domestic product. Today, the country's GDP is about $3 trillion, ranks in 5th place, head-to-head with the UK and France, behind only Germany, Japan, China, and the USA, according to the International Monetary Fund. And get this, in 2023, that's this year, the Indian Premier League for cricket will begin play in the United States. Hitting and throwing a ball, Americans are going to love cricket and maybe even produce a Willie Mays of cricket. Or some Indian-American kid from Denver will be a national cricket hero.
When Narendra Modi became Prime Minister in 2014, India was the world's 10th largest economy. Over the next 7 years, it grew by 40%. This growth has been led by modernizing the state, growing the middle class, harnessing India's strengths, and by an active industrial policy. Infrastructure is also a key part of the Indian government's growth strategy. The national highway system is over 50% longer than in 2014. The number of domestic air passengers has doubled over the same time period. This has been enabled by rising incomes, which have enabled more Indians to buy cars and plane tickets. Today, 750 million Indians use the internet, enabled by some of the cheapest broadband anywhere in the world. This rapid growth in internet users has inspired the Modi government to modernize the state in the form of the India Stack, a single national digital infrastructure. The India Stack includes Aadhaar, a biometric identity system for all Indians, and a national payment system known as the Unified Payments Interface, or UPI. The government has also replaced hundreds of local taxes with a single nationwide goods and services tax in order to encourage more trading between Indian states and to help modernize local businesses. Indian companies, new and established, are stepping up too. The city of Bangalore has established itself as a local magnet for the country's best engineering talent and a pipeline for thousands of new startups every year. Reliance Industries, one of India's biggest companies, is investing $80 billion into solar panels, batteries, and devices that use green hydrogen. Not to be outdone, India's richest man, Gautam Adani of the Adani Group, is planning a $70 billion investment in green technologies by 2030. The skills base and cultural foundations that helped India become one of the world's leaders in IT should also help it scale up its capacity in green energy. And the country's ambitions go well beyond becoming a green energy superpower. There's no better lens to view these ambitions than through the Tata Group, India's largest company. Across the next 5 years, the Tata Group is planning to spend $90 billion on a series of investments which are designed to onshore its operations. It'll invest close to $10 billion in renewables, $5 billion to build gigafactories in India and Europe, which will supply components for its own cars, weighing up a further $5 billion for a fully fledged semiconductor fab. It's investing in a super app aimed at Indian consumers. And in what might be its highest profile play, it bought Air India, which it plans to turn from a perennial underperformer into a source of national pride. Together, these investments would push Tata's annual capital investment budget to $18 billion, making it the nation's largest investor. While just one company, the symbolism is unmistakable. The Tata Group is betting on India. It's betting on the Indian consumer. It's betting on successfully moving up the value chain, and it's betting on Indian dynamism.
India certainly has the potential to become a robotics powerhouse. India is already making significant strides in the field of robotics, and the Indian government has recognized the potential of robotics in driving economic growth and technological innovation. India has a large pool of engineering talent and a thriving startup ecosystem that is focused on developing cutting-edge technologies. The Indian government has also launched several initiatives to promote the development and the adoption of robotics in various sectors, such as healthcare, defense, and manufacturing. Additionally, India has a vast and growing market for robotics, with the country being one of the largest consumers of industrial robots. This creates a favorable environment for the growth of industrial robots in India, as companies can develop and test their technologies in a local market before scaling up globally. Sonam Motwani, founder and CEO of Karkana.io, an on-demand B2B manufacturing platform, predicts as India gears up for Industry 4.0, demand is going to pour in, and we will see several trends in digitalization in the manufacturing industry. The manufacturing sector, contributing to over 14.5% of the country's GDP, is expected to create, and get this, 100 million new jobs. Wow. And touch the 1 trillion mark by 2025. It is now patently clear, after nearly a decade of building out new age manufacturing, that the key automation industry 4.0 is robotics. Industrial arms, large and small, cobots, AMRs, AGVs, ASRS systems, and service robots on land, sea, and air are the building tools for any future at almost anything. Is India next up for an automation makeover? It appears so, and Indian robotics is rolling out to the launch pad to drive it all. As Asian Robotics Review, we have prepared 4 in-depth reports on Indian robotics. The links to those reports are in the show notes for today's podcast. Indian robotics is a revolutionary new movement that will revolutionize manufacturing and logistics in India, as well as the rest of the world. Well, dear friends, we've come to the close of another This Is Robotics Radio News podcast. Many thanks for coming. We sincerely hope that you enjoyed your brief stay with us, found the program interesting, and had a few takeaways that will stick in your memory banks and power your day along. Thanks also to Global Robotics for being such a wonderful source for news.
brings to a close today's edition of Radio News. As always, thank you for your interest and attention. Until our next report, please be sure to click on over to This Is Robotics, the online news column at Asian Robotics Review. Also, look for This Is Robotics Radio News at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Pandora. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, this is Radio News, signing off. Have a great day.